representing the body and the blood of Jesus. And so if you're here this morning and you're a believer in Him, you've received Him, you've been born again by His Spirit. As we just continue on in worship, I just invite you to come to the Lord's table and just partake of what He has sacrificed for you. And we believe this morning that His resurrection power is here. Ha ha ha. It is here. He is alive. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He lives in you. He lives in me if we know Him. So we just believe this morning as we partake of the elements that resurrection life is released on the inside of us. So again, as the Lord would lead you, they're here. Lord, we bless you and we thank you, Father. Lord, for these symbols, Father, and invitations, Lord, of your sacrifice for us, Lord. And Lord, we enter in with full hearts of faith this morning to receive, Father, from you. And we celebrate, that because you live, Lord, we live in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Just want to bless the Lord on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday morning and just thank God for who He is. I've just been so excited to just be here today and to be able to say this is the day that the Lord has made, and He says, let's rejoice and be glad in it. And don't you love it? Don't you love Easter morning? Just love it. Just love what God's doing. And, you know, there's that sense of anticipation with all things that are going on in our life and our world. So many things. Mike and Jamie just had a baby, and little Gabriel's with us, in case you didn't hear that. So, not with us today. Still in the hospital. And, you know, he had a kind of a interesting entrance into this part of his life. So, with the C-section that Jamie had, unexpected, and all the things that went on, he's now tube-free. So he's off all the tubes, all the oxygen and everything, which is really good. Praise God for that. So he'll be going home in a few days. Yeah, so we just celebrate that. Or maybe today. Let's just call it out in Jesus' name. But the doctors say a few days, so we'll see what God does. But just their blessings to the Rogers clan and everybody who's related to this wonderful family. So we just want to thank God for your lives and thank God for what He's doing. And I know that many have celebrations today after this, family and friends and all kinds of things going on. And I've just been really thinking about the significance of what this Resurrection Sunday Easter season means. And to really kind of go forward with that, you know, I wanted to tell you that I received a text this morning from the leaders of our children's home in Rajahmundry, India, just greeting us from around the world, just saying, this is amazing. I am the resurrection and the life. Some of you have been there, and we have a team that's going there in a few weeks. And we just know that the Lord is moving very strongly in different places around the world. And He's just saying, keep looking to me and watch what I'm doing. You're going to see great and mighty things in your midst in 2014. This is a year of great change, great outpouring, great reflection, great benefit. This is a year of blessing. And as Larry Randolph said, got this from the Lord, this is your year. So this is a great year to say, God, what does that mean for me? That means that He's doing something mighty and powerful in every facet of our lives, and He doesn't want us to miss it. Then He wants us to keep our eyes on Him to see the bigger picture in the midst of that. So those of us who can contend for that, will contend for that. The Lord's really, really on top of things. He's got it. So if you are incurring some kind of difficult time, whether it's a physical time in your body or emotional time or a financial struggle or whatever, just remember these words. He's got it. Because when He said it's finished, He really meant it. When He said this is finished, He says, who I'm looking for people who will believe that. Who believes it is finished? It really is finished in the midst of all the things that are so tough, so difficult, and so stretching. And I just wanted to say that a couple of days ago, also from Southeast Asia, we received a letter from our main contact that we work with in human trafficking in Southeast Asia. And as some of you know, he's been imprisoned for his faith. And it's just been really a challenging year. So a year ago, March, he was set up and he was picked up and accused of the very things that he's doing, which he has done for many years, which is rescue children out of slavery, rescue children out of the brothels, rescue children from the sex trade, from human trafficking. And so he's been through a lot. And I received a letter, Pastor Bill did too, a letter. And I read that and it's just, wow, God, come on. What is going on here? This is so amazing. This is just in time for Resurrection Sunday to be able to stir us up in another way, for us to just increase our depth of appreciation for who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So I've asked Andy, I don't know if you're in here. Here he is. Andy, to read this to us. And when I got it, I texted his wife, Adriana, and I said, how did you get this and can we share it? Because it's very sensitive. He's been suffering a lot. And she said, I got it this morning, and she said that she received this from his lawyer. So somehow he was able to get into prison with him, and then he dictated it to him, and then he sent it to Benjamin's wife. Just very grieving to my heart, but I'm filled with joy because he's going to be released in Jesus' name. But I just want you to get a handle on this and just listen with your heart of how big our God is for someone who's been in prison for his faith for this long, and we know him personally.
Dear beloved brothers and sisters, greetings from prison. Jesus is alive forevermore. Our Redeemer lives. Our eyes shall see him face to face. What a joy we share and what a hope we have. Although my body is in chains and suffering, but my spirit is in soaring in abundant freedom in Christ and his comfort and joy. I praise God and am deeply thankful that he counts me worthy and that he never fails to use me for his glory wherever I am, even in the prison here. What a great privilege to share about our Redeemer to the vilest of sinners and to experience the joy of seeing them liberated and washed clean by the precious blood of Jesus the Savior. A rescue mission has been going on in the prison for past many months. Tears are flowing from the eyes of the hardened and dead in heart criminals as they look to the cross for salvation. Many have accepted Christ and received new life. Six people have taken baptism in prison. It's awesome. And many have gone out and gotten baptized. I am thankful that I have been so blessed and so loved by God that he gave me an amazing and precious wife in Ina. She suffered and endured for Christ with all boldness, patience, and perseverance. Truly, she is a powerful and humble woman of God. My greatest desire is that I want to always do his will, that nothing may hinder me to serve Christ. My prayer is that at all times, and especially at this time, I will be full of courage and boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit, so that I may always bring honor to Christ with all my being, whether I am in chains or free, alive or die. Hallelujah, he is alive, and we are forever free, and we are together raised up with him. Thank you for your prayers. I am sure with your prayers and help which comes from the Spirit of Christ, I will be set free from the prison. With love in Jesus and my prayers for you every day, with which I never fail to do, Hebrews 13:20-21, Pastor Benjamin.
Thank you, Andy. I'll never forget one of the years we were there and we were doing a service on a Sunday morning. And how many of you were with us? You've been with us. Mark, you've been with us. Many have been with us. And there was a little one there who was very, very, very sick. It was a deaf mute. Do you remember? And the child was touched and healed by the Lord. I don't know what year it was. And it was very simple in an upper room. And I just thought, wow, God, your power is so amazing. May I never forget this, and may I never forget how simple it is for you and how amazing you are. when we were in one of the first years we were there, well, actually it was the first year we were there, when we first saw the children who had been rescued, we prayed over them when we met them and just told them about the supernatural power of Jesus. And we told them about his love, his great love for them, and about signs and wonders and how great he is. And do you know that on all of the children, there was this sparkly stuff that just appeared? It's like, what the heck is that, Lord? Well, we've seen this before, but they had never seen it. And we told them it was a representation of the fact that our Father in heaven loves them so much. And so they're looking at their hands and their arms, and there was this gold stuff that was appearing. And here we are in Southeast Asia, just meeting these kids and seeing their faith and their love for Jesus, knowing some of their stories, and saying, God, what's in store for these kids? Well, a few years later, when this raid happened, not only was Pastor Benjamin hauled away to prison, all of these children were taken, and these children who had once been rescued were then put in Hindu homes, Hindu places. Can you imagine? And wow, it's like, wow, Lord, help me get a grip on this. And then over a year later now, we get this amazing letter from Benjamin, and that's his family name. We call him that here in the States for the tape, in case someone is listening to that, and Benjamin is who he is. And I just really moved by the fact that not only is he a wonderful servant of the Lord, but he's a friend of God. And when he started leading people to the Lord in the various prisons he was in, because he's been moved numerous times, and his faith has been tested through torture and also through hopes being raised and then seemingly shot down when he wasn't released. You will be released on bail for this amount of time, and then it wouldn't happen. So speaking to his wife over this past year and listening to her heart of faith, really, and trust in the promises of God, she's never lost hope. She's had many tears. But when he left, she was very early in her pregnancy, and she was going to be put in jail too because she was his wife. But because she was pregnant, some reasons against the law in India, and they released her. So she stayed with his family through the rest of the pregnancy and had a baby a few months ago whom Benjamin has not seen. So, you know, they've really suffered for the gospel, and they're still continuing to do that. And then we get a letter like that to share on Easter morning, on Resurrection Sunday morning. And it's like, Lord, let's stop and consider you. Consider the children who are not able to do a children's program. To consider it, the children who have gone through so much heartache. And what I heard, and I don't know what it's like lately, but what I heard several months ago was that their faith was still very strong, and they had been writing letters saying that uncle, they called him, has never hurt us or abused us, and that's what he was accused of. Even the children, under the duress of the Hindu regime, said, we're not saying that he hurt us, because he didn't. The little children. So all of those testimonies are being gathered to free him. And when we look at the scriptures and we think, God, you are so big, we're celebrating you on this Easter morning, this resurrection morning, I just can't even imagine the plan that God has for people who love him, who serve him, whose faith is in him. That's all of us here. We're trusting. And if you don't know him, that today would be a day that you say, Jesus, I just want to know you. How can a man in prison suffering like that sing your praises? How can a man in prison do that? Lord. So he gives us an example, but he also gave us an example during the early times as well. And we're going to read some of those passages. But before I do, just want to read to you Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, which he quoted at the end. And here's the word of God. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What a good word. So we thank you, Lord, that you are equipping us in every good thing to do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight. He's working in us right now through Jesus. To him be the glory forever and ever. So God is working, was working, and is working even still in the great shepherd in Jesus. And through that association, through that resurrection power, through the establishment of that continued love between Father and Son, what Jesus accomplished on the cross, and then 3 days later finishing in the resurrection, from the resurrection of the dead in the tomb, that has enabled us to be able to stand and say, yes, Jesus, your life, here's mine, your life, I lay my life down, because no one took Jesus' life. He voluntarily laid it down. He laid down his life for you and for me, and he rose from the dead. When the Father sent the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead to also move through that angelic host, move that stone out of the way, cause an earthquake, and things just shook, rattled, and rolled. And God says, that's what I'm doing around the world. Who will join me? Who will join me with that fire inside? Who will join me even in the midst of feeling oppressed? Maybe you feel enchained. Maybe you feel that it's just heavy and the weights are, oh, sometimes more than we can bear. Sometimes we feel that way. And the Lord says, listen, I gave you the chain breaker. And the chain breaker is amongst us right now. We've had many prophecies over this place. Many, many words of the way that God wants to do things and what he's going to do. Maybe not so much the way. We're still saying, how is that looking? But what he's going to do. And we know that when we ask them, they will come. And when we say, Lord, you said this and this and this, it will happen. How can a Benjamin in prison stay strong in faith? We could say, well, he has no other choice. He certainly does. But he's partnering with the power and the glory within. He's partnering with the very one who raised Jesus from the dead within. He's partnering so that his yes is amazing. His yes is, I cannot help but speak of you. I cannot help but be a testimony of your great love and your power. I cannot help but release myself in full measure, body, soul, mind, spirit, emotions, all of myself. My spirit is tethered to you. So Spirit of God, whatever you have, whatever you say, whatever you do, that's for me. I'm walking it out, and I know that you've broken the chains in my life. Therefore, these natural chains will be gone as well. What a faith to have. And God says that's for us right now because he backs us up. Not because we're so good. Not because we have this and that. Not because we try it again and we say, I won't give up. But because he backs us up. That's the beauty of all of this. That's the beauty of the message of the resurrected Jesus. The beauty of the cross being fulfilled. Jesus is not in the tomb. He's not on the cross. He's risen from the dead. And that's a great amen. Every day, every moment of our life. He's saying that this is what propels us to say yes, and I'm not moving. I'm putting my feet solidly in the ground because you promised to back me up. How many of us have ever said, Holy Spirit, back me up here. Holy Spirit, I know you're in me. I know you're upon me. I sense your closeness and nearness. Hey, the Lord says, when we cry out and say, back me up, Papa. Holy Spirit, you're here. He does, and he is. He's equipped us to stand. He's equipped us to do great and mighty works. He's equipped us to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. He's equipped us to say, you are the resurrection and the life, and your resurrection power floods my soul, works through me, sees the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, sees those who are dead raised up. He sees that in us to be able to call it into the now. Hey, that's the prophetic word for us that's been spoken over this place, over our lives. And the Lord says, speak to that. And let your words be echoing what heaven resoundingly is saying. Let your words say what I've already said. Let your actions follow that. That's the prophetic release over our life. He says, when you know what I'm saying and doing, then you offer it. And there's a momentum there that releases it over our lives and over our families' lives. You want to see change? That's how God brings change. He involves us in the process. Isn't that exciting? The Lord says, tomorrow will be way different from today. Way different. Mary's been fighting this dreaded cancer. And we are hearing just great reports. Consistent reports. Consistent reports. It's like cancer's going somewhere else. It's not staying in that holy body. Because she carries the body of the temple. She is the body of the temple, the Holy Ghost. That's her body. So she's looking for the final am I in remission sign from the doctors. I don't know if they gave it to you yet, but she said that that's coming. She's really close. Come on. We have declared a cancer-free zone around this place. We say no to that in Jesus' name because this is a place the Lord has made. And speak to yourself. This is the place that the Lord has made. I am, I have, I live in, he lives in me. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's not fruity faith. That's biblical faith. Come on. When we partner with the one who lives on the inside, that's why Jesus died and rose. He rose so he could live on the inside. Come on. So there's all these little resurrected ones on the inside, if you will. Okay? Because we have been freed. Come on, Jesus broke the chain of sin and death. And he said, listen, I've done that so I could live in you and you and I together can go and kick it up all around the world. Who wants to join me in that? More. This is the time. This is the season. Amen? Come on. This is the time when the Lord says, let me raise your hope because I am hope and I live inside of you. So let me live and let me out. Let me release. Having a hard time? Okay, look for someone that you can bless and say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Honestly, that will release the prophetic destiny over your life more and more and more. Amen. What a good word. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That was a good word right there. Mm-hmm. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 21. If you can put that up, Spence. It's NASB. That would be helpful. Yeah, this is so good. Oh, Lord, you are so amazing. John 20, sorry. Here we go. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. Wouldn't you know? Good. Go, Mary. I like the name. So Mary came early. She came early to the tomb. She came expecting, but yet she didn't know what to fully expect. There was something in her that drove her. Yes, there was a sense of duty. Yes, there was a sense of awe. Yes, there was a sense of, okay, I need to take care of my master. But did she have the revelation? Did she understand what was going to happen? Did she know? Had she heard? Had she sat at Jesus' feet? Had she poured oil on him? Had she said, here I am, I'm going to stay with you a little longer? What was she thinking? It was still dark and she came early, but she saw that the stone was already taken away. Well, was she going to do something about it? Was she going to move the stone? Was she saying, rats, that was me? What happened here? What was she thinking? What was on her mind? So she ran and she came to Simon Peter. She didn't lollygag. She didn't in a dull way just say, well, that's really cool. That's really amazing. She gripped the moment. She grabbed it and she said, ha, I've got to do something with what I've experienced. I don't even know what it means. I got to do something. This thing could not be moved by human power. She was no dope. She could see that thing and go, something happened here. I don't know what. I don't know how to handle it. What do I do? Oh my gosh. So what did she do? She ran. She ran. Where did she run? Did she run into the ocean and die? No. She ran to someone or some people that she was tethered with, that she was connected with. Why Mary? Good question. Mary had been saved and freed from a lot. Mary had suffered a lot. Mary recognized her Lord and her Savior. She wasn't filled with a bunch of religion. She was filled with awe and humility because she had been in the trash heap. And Jesus, with his great love, just touched her. Said, I love you. You're valuable to me. She had been forgiven much. And she valued the depth of the forgiveness. Interesting. Why was she the first one running to the tomb? Where was everybody else? Worried about what the Roman soldiers would do? Grieving over their lost friend and leader? Why Mary? Why Mary? Why Mary? So she ran and she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Do we know his name? Yeah. And said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Okay, now let me just say it again. They have taken away the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where he is. I believe that's how she came across. Come on. Can you imagine this? Imagine this human. And God said, listen, I'm going to bring alive the message of the resurrection, and I'm going to use Mary to do it. And we'll write about it. But what does it do to you? Are you stirred on the inside? What does it mean? Can you imagine what that was like? Can you only imagine? We can do more than imagine. We can encounter that very verse. Do you realize that? We can encounter that verse. We can say, Lord, I'm jumping into the middle of that verse. Where's Jesus? He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. We don't know where he is, but we do. Yeah? We have the revelation, so we know where he is. We know what happened. And we know that Mary was just trying to figure everything out, but yet she had a supernatural spiritual encounter right then and there. She did. And everybody looked at her like, huh? She didn't care. She ran. She was full of power. She was full of authority. She was full of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. She was full with enthusiasm. She said, I love you, Jesus. Where are you? I need to see you again. How? Oh. Wow, what a good word. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Jesus. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. That's unacceptable. Okay, that was a big deal. Okay, where's the body? But there's more than that. It's more than where's the body. Where's my Lord? Oh my gosh, I need to connect. There was this personal connection, but it didn't end because he was dead. It didn't end because he was in the tomb. She needed to go and say, I need to still connect. It's a spiritual encounter, a spiritual connection. So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. Wow. Well, that's nice. We're glad. The two were running together. Well, praise God for that. I'd run too, wouldn't you? Going, what's up with this? How did they take Mary? Good question. We weren't there, but we could read different accounts. Disbelief? Silly woman? Why not me? Can you imagine the different questions? Well, finally, they decided, whatever their questions were, that all rallied around unbelief, possibly. They decided to just put their running sandals on and hoof it. And they took off and they ran to the tomb. I love it. They didn't walk. They were running together. They were running together. The Lord says, we're to run together. We are to be tethered together. He sends us out two by two. And he says, I want you to be together, because there's something about that togetherness. Peter is this great apostle, and John the beloved, coming together, being so strengthened together and running towards that empty tomb. Will they find him? Will they encounter the Roman soldiers? What will they see? Yay. Ho raba shikirabasa. And the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. Let's see where else this goes. That's kind of interesting. Why is that in the scripture? Why is that in there? Ran ahead faster than Peter. Was Peter just kind of sluggish because it was early morning? Or Peter just needed to lose some weight? Or what was the deal here? He came to the tomb first. But the point is that he came to the tomb first. So there's something about that. He ran and nothing was going to stop, and he came to the tomb first. The one who was his beloved. And stopping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. There was an awe. He stopped and stooped, and he looked in, and he saw the linen wrappings, but he didn't go in. Why didn't he go in? Was he afraid? Was there holy fear? Was there an awe inside? Was there a process? Was it a mental process? Was this going? Was the brain taking over? Was there a spiritual weight from the Lord? was going on? Verse 6. So Simon Peter also came following him, and he entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there. He entered. He went in. As the leader of the leaders, he went inside. And the face cloth, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself, the face cloth of Jesus, as he walked down Via Dolorosa, had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but they wrapped him in after, I should say, because that's what they wrapped him in. So it's possible speculation there. Verse 8, so the other disciple who had come first to the tomb then also entered. How would you like to be called other? I'm the other person that Jesus loved. How many times have we read that now? The other disciple. Oh, but the one who ran faster and faster but then hesitated when he went in. Interesting, isn't it? So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered and saw and believed. So that person, this other person, entered, saw, and believed. Entered in, saw, and believed. So there was a receiving. There was something that happened. There was a stopping, and there was an entering in, eyes opening, and then a belief. The Lord says that he has drawn us, he has called us to himself. And he says, I'm drawing you by the Spirit. Enter in. Enter into the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom. Enter into the fullness of every encounter with Jesus Christ. The fullness. Enter in, and your eyes will be opened. Don't enter in, you will not see. And then he believed. Isn't that interesting? There was this belief, spirit of belief, that came upon him at that point, and he was able to see. So there was a progression. And the Lord is saying, do you want healing in your body? Stop. Enter in. Your eyes will open. You will believe. You will receive. You will destroy and you will advance. Very strong, very, very strong right here. Verse 9. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So is that referring to verse 8? So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and he believed. What? That he believed that he was gone? That he believed that he was going to raise from the dead? Well, the scripture tells us in verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Do you know how many times Jesus spoke that to his fellow beloved disciples? He let them know, but there wasn't the spirit of understanding and revelation to the degree that was forthcoming, because Jesus was going to have an encounter with his disciples after this, and he was going to meet them and increase them. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Verse 11, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. Can you imagine the travail in her heart? She wept and she stooped and she looked. I like these action words. It's really good to read these accounts and think about what each one went through. She cried. She stooped and she looked. She didn't sit there and go, well, I wonder what's going to happen. I hope I'm okay someday. She actually took control in a good way of her own life by responding to what Jesus wanted her to respond to, and that's him not being there. But there was a process that she went through because he wanted her to have full revelation of the power of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the full power of the resurrection for what she could receive at that time. So she stooped down and she looked into the tomb after she had wept. Isn't that interesting? Maybe deferring to the men outside because of the culture, the women weren't highly esteemed, even though she's the first one at the tomb, and I have a lot to say about that. Verse 12, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet. She saw them. The Lord had opened her eyes. She looked, when she looked into the tomb, her eyes were open. Not necessarily true for everybody else, who looked into that tomb, because there were other people looking in that tomb who were going to. Did they see the two angels? Were their eyes open? But she saw. She saw the two angels. Her heart had been postured to emotionally, spiritually, heart-to-heart connect with Jesus. Where is my master? Where is he? I care. I've got to be with him. I have to encounter him. I need to see Jesus. I need to see you, Jesus. I have to be with you, Jesus. I can't get enough without you. My heart broke the day you were crucified. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't believe it. You could have gotten off that cross, but you didn't. And I watched them tear you up, and I watched you die. Lord, I don't understand, but I've got to just keep going because my heart is burning inside. Wow. Yes, Lord. No, oh, this is so powerful. So she saw the two angels, verse 12, in white, sitting one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they spoke to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I think they probably knew the answer. But they asked rhetorically, "Why are you weeping? Did you realize this is the most glorious time in human history? Do you believe this? Why are you weeping? This is a time of great rejoicing. Do you not see? You have seen into the spiritual realm. You've seen angels. Hello, we're here. We're talking to you. But do you get it? Do you get the message that he's not here and we are? We're holy flames of fire, ready to do your bidding. How about that? Not just the master's. She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So that's what she's crying about. I think there's more than that. Sometimes we have these connections with the Lord, and we might just be led to cry. There'll be a weeping that comes upon us. The presence of the Lord is so strong. I know that happens to me. I just, and I just start crying because the Spirit of God in me is close and personal. And I'm experiencing him more, and the Father's heart, and the Father's love, and Jesus showing up. And, you know, it's great if I see an angel, and it's great if somebody gets healed. But having that encounter with the one who created the universe is more important than anything, not to discount the supernatural manifestations. But the Lord says, connection, that's what I'm looking for. Increase in connection, increase in resurrection joy, increase in resurrection power, increase in everything with the kingdom, because that's why I came. Wow. And when she had said this, verse 14, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Can you imagine? Her heart was so poured out because she yearned for him. She ached for him. I need to know where he is. I need to know he's okay. I don't get all this. I believe something, but I need to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. The demand of her spirit was saying, it's not good enough. I put up with the cross. I put up with the death. And now he's not there no more. I need to encounter him. I need to see him. And nothing's going to stop me. There's nothing too big. There's no heartache. There's no prison too big holding me. There's nothing at all. There's no sickness. There's no infirmity. There's no problem in my family. There's nothing that's going to keep me from encountering you, Jesus, from seeing you, because I need to see you. I need to get close to you. I'm hungry for you. That's what makes me roll. Che. Yay. Jesus said, come on. Jesus said, can you imagine this woman? Oh my gosh. Wow. Jesus said to her, verse 15, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I think he knows. The king of the universe knows. "Whom are you seeking?" Come on, you playing games here, Jesus, or what? "Jesus, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Oh, my goodness. She heard his voice, and she saw him. Come on. But somehow she thought he was a gardener. Get real. I'm telling you, God is saying, press in. Press in to encounter in me. Hosanna in the the highest. Jesus is risen. Today, as we finish here, we are going to worship him and say, God, I am encountering you and nothing is stopping me. I'm going forward. I will burn for you because I yearn for you more than ever before. Let this be a day where you draw a line in the sand. It's not just a nice little fluffy Easter message. It's a day of encounter that if you don't know him, today is the day. My life is for you. If you're not on fire demanding, your spirit's not demanding, I want to encounter you. I want to live that way. I'm tired of the old way. This is a new day for me. Then let that be for you. Amen. Jesus, you're so good. Come on. And then Jesus says to her, the favorite words to me personally, Mary. How? When I hear my name called, there's nothing like it. It just happens to be mine. Mary, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Can you imagine what she experienced when she encountered him and the scales were completely off? He ain't no gardener, except he gardens our soul. I don't say ain't much, but Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But God, you know, Jesus hadn't ascended yet. So hang on, sweetie, back off a bit. But go to my brethren and say to them. Can you imagine these words? You talk about the Great Commission straight from Jesus' mouth to her. Why don't you write this one down and put it on your mirror, huh? Put it in your car. Write it out. Make a t-shirt. I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Can you imagine? Yes, sir, boss. I got it. I'm going to run back and I'm going to take this message and I'm going to take it to to his brethren. Who are the brethren? Those who know him? Do we know him? Come on. Go to my brethren. I will. And don't stop. Keep going. And keep encountering me. And keep laying down your life for me a little longer. Keep hungering for me. Mary, I've seen you. You've just encountered me in fullness. How about that? No more yearning. I'm the real deal. Here I am. And yes, I'm risen. I ascend to my Father and your Father. Your Father. You're in my family. My dad is your dad. How about that one? Oh, wow. We have the same dad. And my God and your God. We're in the same stinking family. And we ought to act like it. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Can we get that video up? We're going to show that right now. I have seen the Lord and that he has said these things to her. Mary Magdalene came, verse 18, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. This is a day. I have seen the Lord. Come on. This is what God is saying for you. This is the encounter that he's saying, I paid a big price for you, that you can say, I've been with him. I've seen him. I've seen you, Jesus, and this is my message, and I say it with a smile. I say it with fire in my belly. I say it and nothing's going to stop. I say it sensitively, but I say it boldly because I'm a woman of courage, or a man of courage, and a man of boldness, and a man of strength. You may feel like the biggest wimp on the planet, and the Lord says, I don't make any wimps. I make people who are in my family, and they are valuable, they are trustworthy, and I see only the best. That's the message. And when you carry that strength, you carry that power, then you're not going to put things off. If someone gives you a word and says, you know, I've been thinking about this, that, and the other, you go to the Lord and say, are you speaking to me right now? If you are, I'm moving on it. Come on. It's not time. Jesus didn't say, go get your nails done. He said, go tell my brethren, you've got a message. And then she goes and gives them the message and says, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Hmm. I'm not having a prayer for to give up addictions, and you come up and we'll just pray and you give up addictions and things like that. There are things that we struggle with, okay? There are healings that we need. There are worldly things that are going on. And the Lord is saying, fall in love with me and watch what I do, baby. You think chains can hold you? No way. If it's on your heart, pray for Pastor Benjamin like you've never prayed before. Read this passage of scripture over and say, if it's up to me, I'm going to be the one whose prayers are going to be heard in that courtroom in heaven. And that intercession that I'm part of, whether it's all night, all day, whether it's on the way to work or wherever it is, we're going to see freedom for him, and I'm going to back him up because I can. You see, things like that. And when we start moving for what's on God's heart, wow, the windows of heaven are open. Mary Magdalene, the windows are open for Mary Magdalene. Can we put that up, guys? Can we turn the lights off? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song called Revelation. She's going to sing it. You get to receive, because the worship team gets to receive here. I just want you to sit. And if you want to stand, you want to run around, you want to shout it out, whatever you want to do, you need something from the Lord. This is not, I want something. This is, Lord, I'm in your family. I need to be healed. Thank you today. I receive my healing. Thank you today. Today is my day where I receive salvation. You died on the cross. You rose from the dead for me. Maybe I've been kind of with Jesus because life is hard, okay? No one's mad at you. Jesus isn't mad at you. He's saying, listen, let me take the burden. I already took it on the cross. This is my day. I am not in the tomb. I am alive, and I'm alive in this place, in this house, for you right now. So this is the revelation of the day. I have seen the Lord. I have been with the Lord. I am going to be like Mary Magdalene. I am going to be one. Even though the others ran to the tomb and they had their encounter, it was great. He still sent her to them because she got to see him. Is that beautiful? Let's turn it up. You can sing along, you can stand up, you can worship the Lord. Just give him everything. Give him your stuff. It's not hard. And lay down in your spirit and just say, you got me. I'm marking it in the sand today. This is my day. Because you're worthy. You're worthy. Be healed, be strengthened, be whole. In Jesus' name. You put it up, T. You want to sing out, you go for it.
Sing a new song, yeah, to him who sits on heaven's mercy.
Chains are falling off right now, he said, of your life. He told me right now. Whoa. Jesus. Wow.
Him who was slain.
We're celebrating Jesus.
Thank you.
bless you. God bless you. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. Happy Easter. Happy resurrection. In Jesus' name, bless your families today. Be healed, be whole, be strengthened. Amen.